Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. And thank you, Carla. That's always one of my favorites. Hallelujah. And it is so good to see all of you here. We're glad that you're with us and God invites us by His Spirit to enter into worship today and receive of His grace, especially as later on we'll be celebrating at the table and receiving communion together. And a little bit later on, as we continue on in our series there, Standing Strong, we're going to be talking about how do you handle, or how do we handle difficulties. So, as we begin, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. For our call to worship this morning in the bulletin. God of salvation, we lift our souls to you. In trust, we wait on you to speak, reveal, and send. Lead us in your truth with mercy and righteousness. Well, let's join together there and turn in our hymn books if you would like to. Hymn number 7, A Shelter in the Time of Storm, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears, alarm, no fears of fright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter divine. O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter. Sing the refrain again. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Thank God He is too. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Divine Builder, make your presence known to us as we gather before you. Let this community reflect your body and your vision. Fortify and strengthen us with your abundant love as you craft us to build alongside you. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and I'm going to invite our children if they would make their way down this morning. Yes. We have lots. Lots and lots. Oliver, you come over and sit by me, and us guys will stay together. Swing level, and then guess what?
But you just got to keep on going. And sometimes in life, when we face difficulties and hardships, you got to keep going. Now, thank God, when you're this age, Mom and Dad helps us a lot, don't they? They help to protect us and watch over us. And we were just singing that song, Jesus is a rock and a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. So Jesus helps us. And we may not be here with us physically, but He's with us in spirit. And He helps us and wants us to keep going too. Alright? So don't ever give up. Keep moving forward. You might feel like you're moving backwards, but keep moving forwards. Okay? Alright, you guys can head on down this morning. You're welcome, whoever said thank you.
At least I thought that's what they said. What a great bunch. Gotta love it. So as they are heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share. And so we will let you. Somebody this morning. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yep, we won't forget Junior.
Our Junior from Anthony, 92 yesterday.
Okay, yep.
My sister Amy's coming this week from Colorado. That's a joy.
Yes, it is. And we'll also pray for Amy as she's traveling. And we always have others that are traveling during this summertime. And so, yes, and we do remember Junior and all the things that he built and did around here. And yeah, thank you. So thank you for sharing that. Somebody else, yes, unspoken this morning. Someone else.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. Oh, yep.
Our daughter called the other day. She's flying home Thursday for 5 days. Haven't seen her back in a month.
Oh, that's great too. And we'll be praying for her as she's traveling too. So, the different ones. Somebody else, yes.
Keep Jody Tron in your prayers. It's healing, but it's a slow process. It's got to heal from the inside out. And there's just a small section that's still concerning. So, just keep praying for her.
Did they decide to hold off on the wound vac?
They don't have to do that yet.
Okay. Because she was happy. I talked to her the other day on Thursday. And she said, oh, and she goes, it's looking better than what it was. So we're very thankful for that. And so, yes, we want to remember Jody and praying that where she had that surgery with the incision, that wound was not healing like it should have. And so we're thankful, though, that it's starting to. I think she saw the doctor on Friday, she said. So somebody else. Somebody else. Yep.
We've been praying for Bob Bowman. He just had severe pain in his back for the last month. And I guess they transferred him to Minor Valley yesterday. And they just can't seem to find out what.
Yep.
His problem is with his upper back, but the pain's in his lower back. And the medicine still lasts. It's
yep. Terrible. I understand that. I know what that is. I'm glad, though, to hear, well, I guess I shouldn't say it quite like that, but I was thankful it wasn't his heart. Because you know how many unteen things he's had with his heart. So, but back pain is unbearable and miserable. So, yes. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning?
Bathroom needs a
gift
of the week for 9 months.
Okay. So we want to remember Matthew and his tank group that is going to Poland?
Eastern Poland.
Yeah. Poland. So they will be right on the border there with the Ukraine and Russia thing. So somebody else. Anybody else this morning? Yeah.
A good friend of mine and Barney Taylor.
Hold on a minute here. Was that Rusty?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we want to remember the Clark family. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And we definitely want to remember him in our prayers. We also want to remember that Moore family. I don't know what Andy's last name was exactly, but the one that lost his life and he was in his 30s and been married for 6 weeks or 7 weeks that we prayed for last week.
His last name is on the one where I think her name is Carrie.
Was it Helmick? Okay, because I know we prayed for, I think, the Moore family or whoever last week. And then I saw it on Facebook this week, some people that knew him and was friends with him. And I was like, oh, we didn't get the name family right. But yeah, so we want to remember the Helmick family and with the loss of that loved one there, Andy. So anybody else then this morning? Yes. Okay, unspoken. Anybody else? All right, so we want to remember those that were mentioned there and give you a chance to pray and as she plays and lifting up some of those names, and then I will come and close us out. As we pause today, we're grateful that you are our shelter in the time of storm. And Lord, that doesn't necessarily mean that everything always goes the way we want it or works out perfect or we have no pain or suffering. But it means that you are holding us in the palm of your hand and you are keeping us through whatever we face in life. And so we're grateful and thankful today. And Lord, we want to lift up those that were mentioned today, Lord. We think of Jody, God. Thank you for the healing in that wound that has begun. And we ask that it would continue to heal this week, Lord. And it'll begin to look even better. And we're thankful for that. And Lord, we think of Amy and others that are traveling. Lord, that you'll just be with them and watch over them and keep them safe. Some of our folks that are on vacation in the weeks to come here, Lord, be with them and watch over them. Lord, we lift up Bob to you today with his back pain and they're just not sure what's going on. We ask for wisdom and guidance and that you would give him your peace and touch him, Lord. We think about Matthew and his company that is heading to Poland and all of our other men and women that are serving there and in the Middle East and around the world. God, that you'll watch over them and keep them safe and protect them in the midst of serving our nation and working for peace in our world, Lord. And we're grateful and thankful for that. Lord, we pray for the Clark and Helmick family today with the loss of these loved ones, God. We pray for your peace. We pray for your comfort. We pray for grace today. And we're thankful for that and what they need in this time with the loss that they've experienced, God. And we are truly grateful that your peace is in the midst of the storms of life. And Lord, we lift up our shut-ins, Lord. We lift up those on our monthly calendar, Lord, and that you would continue to extend your grace extend your strength, extend your healing touch, faith to those that need it, God, and continue to minister and watch over each one of them as we pray over them monthly. And God, thank you for each one that is here today, especially those that mentioned the three unspoken needs. God, you know what each one of those are. Maybe if there's someone else that's here today and couldn't mention something, God, we just lift that up to you. We lift them up to you, that you will just watch over them and keep them and be with them, Lord, and give guidance and direction and answers and whatever needs to be, and strengthen their faith in the process and give them your grace and peace, we pray. And each one that's here, Lord, today, may we grow from your word, Lord, as we talk about facing our difficulties in life. God, sometimes it can be so hard, but we know that you are the one that is with us through everything we face. And we pray that as we continue to serve you, that you'll continue to use this community of faith, your church, to be a blessing in our community and world. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us in prayer. And I know we forgot to mention it, but continue to remember the folks and people down there in Texas and all that's been going on there. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit in the sermon. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. And thank you so much for your faithfulness. And it's how the kingdom work continues. Not only by God sometimes doing something miraculous or unusual, but also most of the time through us and our hands extended. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Architect of our faith, use this humble offering to join your plan of peace, hope, and love for life abundantly. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I want to let you know, we get these yearly, maybe, or every 6 months. One of our sister churches down in Cincinnati area, St. John's Westminster Union Church, sent us a little postcard this week and said, we want you to know that Lost Creek UCC was prayed for on Sunday, July 6th by our congregation. There you go. I like that. I like that. It's, I remember, and I don't know, I know sometimes it's been done. I don't know currently, but we had, used to send out postcards to folks that sometimes were in the hospital or were at home recovering from the hospital, and they would send out a little card that said, we want you to know that Lost Creek Church prayed for you this past week. So, and those are just a blessing like you cannot believe. So, well, our scripture reading is coming from Job this morning. Job chapter 1 and one verse out of 2. There's no way we could go through the whole book. I might have shortly summarized a lot out of the book in my sermon today. But we're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then 13 through 22 and then verse 9 of chapter 2. A man in the land of Uz was named Job. That man was honest, a person of absolute integrity. He feared God and avoided evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters and owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 pairs of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a vast number of servants, so that he was greater than all the people of the East. Each of his sons hosted a feast in his own house on his birthday. They invited their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of the feast had been completed, Job would send word and purify his children. Getting up early in the morning, he prepared entirely burnt offerings for each one of them. For Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned and then cursed God in their hearts. Job did this regularly. One day, Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby when the Sabaeans took them and killed the young men with swords. I alone escaped to tell you. While this messenger was speaking, another arrived and said, a raging fire fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and devoured the young men. I alone escaped to tell you. While this messenger was speaking, another arrived and said, Chaldeans set up 3 companies, raided the camels and took them, killing the young men with swords. I alone escaped to tell you. While this messenger was speaking, another arrived and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house when a strong wind came from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It fell upon the young people and they died. I alone escaped to tell you. Job arose, tore his clothes, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Bless the Lord's name. In all of this, Job didn't sin or blame God. Job's wife said to him, are you still clinging to your integrity? Curse God and die. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning Amen and amen. Well, where did it go? Oh, I got it. A mom. Wait a minute. I can't find my joke. It's a page and it's got like six things and I'm... Where did it go? I don't understand. Oh, maybe it's on this side. Oh my gosh, isn't this crazy? There was one on the other side that I want to share, but there... Where did it go? I know, isn't this horrible? Oh well, I'll find it for next week. I'll share another one. A mom took her son, Daniel, who's 4 years old, to the doctor's office, which was very busy. While we were waiting to be called, Daniel asked, "When is it our turn?" for the 10th time. I told him the nurses were busy and that he had to learn to be patient. He looked at me with wide eyes and says, "But mommy, I'm already patient." Ah, come on. I wish I could have found the other one. That was hilarious. Oh, well. Maybe I thought it was hilarious. I'll find it. I'll find it. It's about a son and her mom working in the garden. This morning, as we continue our series, I want to talk to you about facing our difficulties. Facing our difficulties. Life is difficult. Those blunt three words are an accurate appraisal of human existence. Especially as we think back this week when we've heard and witnessed on the news this past week how 120 people died and more than 160 are still missing in the Texas flood. One of the things I want you to think about when I say all of this, and I want this to kind of catch you at the beginning. There are no perfect or imperfect ways to feel and respond in such tragedies. Sometimes we don't know how to respond. Sometimes we respond with anger. Sometimes we respond with frustration. Sometimes we respond with questions. And whys. Sometimes we respond with prayer or many other ways. Many of us here have probably faced the harsh realities of life at one time or another. But as we look at this morning and we talk a little bit about what's happening in our story today, there's two things I want to talk about. And first of all, and this is not surprising at all, is this. Life can be unfair at times. Life can be unfair. Why? Well, even good people face misery. Now, it's interesting because I use that word misery on purpose. Because in the Job story, and a few years ago, the Bible study, adult Bible study that meets at 9 through the fall and spring and winter. We went through the book of Job and wrestled with that book and how Job wrestled through everything that was going on in his life at the time. The Hebrew word for misery is very interesting because it combines two ideas. It combines the idea of evil, and it combines the idea of pain and suffering. And that's why I purposely chose that. Some of you remember a while ago, a Jewish rabbi, gosh, this was decades ago, a Jewish rabbi wrote a book about why bad things happen to good people. I think that was the title of it. I don't know if anybody ever read that. But the story of Job tells us about a wholesome person. He was literally a man of shalom, peace, honesty, trustworthy, and a man of wisdom. Did you catch in there that he was more powerful and successful than anybody else from the East. And East is a key word in biblical thinking because Easterners were known for their wisdom. And he was a man of wisdom. And how is that conveyed? He feared or revered or held God in awe, and he shunned evil. Now, when we were reading that, we found out that Job enjoyed a fourfold blessing on his family and livestock and household and his status in the region. I mean, everything seemed to be going his way. He was successful in every way you could imagine. In fact, no other person except maybe Abraham is openly described and celebrated in this way like Job is. Even good people at times face misery because we know what happened when I kept reading. Everything fell apart. And I'm going to say more about that in a minute. Even the second thing, part of this I want you to see about being unfair is even good people face brokenness. So in a quick and brutal sweep of back-to-back calamities, Job is reduced to a twisted mess of grief and brokenness. The stockpile of disasters that hit his family left Job bankrupt, homeless, helpless, and childless. Think about that for a minute. I can't even imagine. And that story, if you've been watching the news this week, the story is all over the place about what happened in Texas. And I'm sure if it's like you, it about broke your heart when you heard about 27 of those young girls that died in that flood while they were at a Christian camp. No wonder, listen to me, no wonder Job's wife, when he hears him say, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, bless the Lord's name," leans over and probably whispers in his ear, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Have we ever felt that way? Have we ever been in a situation that was so unbearable that we just couldn't imagine living? You got to go to chapter 4 of Job where he laments through the whole chapter. And his whole lament is, why am I living? I might as well be dead. Because he's struggling with everything that happened. Even good people face brokenness. And maybe I can say it this way. Everyone faces the mystery of misfortune. Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse for Job, and we didn't get to that part in chapter 2, although we read the response of his wife, Job breaks out in boils and sores all over his body, and he's in severe pain and misery. And not only that, but on top of that, then Job's friends come along and they sit with him in silence for days. And they never spoke a word. In that time period, that's like where, like today, when we go to counseling sessions and vent it all out. But then things change. And those friends start to accuse Job of having sinned against God. And that's why everything happened to him the way it did. But there's one more thing we got to add on top of it. You think things are piling up? I'm giving you a picture of what he was going through. For 37 chapters, there's 40 chapters in Job. For 37 chapters, and this was like months. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember offhand. 6-8 months, God is silent. Like every prayer that he lifted up bounced off the ceiling and back to him. Try to imagine. You become the object of your friends' accusations and rumors. And the heavens are silent as you plead for help and answers. It's so unfair. You've done nothing to deserve such anguish. Those girls, 27 little girls down there at camp, did nothing to deserve that. Here's a key when we're thinking about all of that. When facing insurmountable adversities, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. You have to. I shared that with the kids. Keep moving forward. And as we will see, you got to read at the very end, 38, 39, and 40 of Job, God does come and speaks. But in that all that happens when God starts speaking, I'm going to summarize in two ways what God basically says there. First of all, we are not God. In 38 and about halfway through 39, God tells Job, "Hey Job, if you got it all figured out, why don't you just take over creation? Take over the wild animals and make sure they're fed and take care. Keep the stars and the planets all spinning and working in order without them going chaos. Just take over." And you know what? God reminds Job that he is not God, because God knows the mysteries of the universe and controls their movements. Here's the good news in that. We don't have to have everything figured out, and we don't have to control everything in life. We just need to keep moving forward. And sometimes that's all you can do when we face those kind of situations, when we face tragedy, when we face difficulties, when we face calamities. That's all we can do. And then the other thing that comes out at the very end of Job is this. We are ordinary human beings. We may be Christians. We may have faith. We may be blessed and experience grace and strength and joy and peace and all those things, but we're still ordinary, fragile human beings. And God, we're told at the end of the first round when God talks to Job, 38 and halfway through 39, Job basically confesses, "I am small. I am small." Now, if you happen to have the sermon outline today, there's that big, long section to fill in. And I don't want to overwhelm you, but I'm going to just go through it. I'm going to give it all to you at once. And I'm going to say a few things about it. At the end, Job confesses he's small, ordinary compared to God. And as I begin to think about that, I begin to think, if we are just ordinary human beings experiencing these things in life, and our responses can be all over the scale of how we're responding to what we're facing, here's some things I want you to see. It's okay to be ordinary. It's okay to be emotional. Sad, cry, grieve, laugh, angry, whatever comes out. It's okay to talk to somebody. Let others walk with us. It's okay to ask for help. When we need it, ask. People are willing to listen. It's okay to feel alone. Most of the time, when people go through something like this, they feel like they're the only one going through it. You ever been there? I have. But then we find out, as we begin to look around, we're not the only ones. It's okay to change afterwards. Our view of God, our view of people, our view of the world, our view of evil, or whatever you want to say, can change. It's okay not to have it all figured out. It's okay to accept the inevitable. Sometimes when we go through calamities or difficulties and we pray and we're asking God to change things and nothing changes. I heard Joel Osteen, I don't agree with everything he says, but I heard Joel Osteen one time say, If you've been praying for God to change your circumstances and they don't change, maybe God is trying to change you. And I thought, whoa, wow. It's okay to question God. Yeah. Okay, we get to about chapter 4 and all the way through to 37. He is arguing back and forth with his friends and with God about why everything's happening. By the way, let me just tell you something. If you think God is too weak to handle your questions or accusations or anger or frustration, at the end of the book, God says that Job was innocent in all of it. Now, Job says, I'm small. And maybe in the process, we just need to, and it's never easy, listen, learn, trust, move on, move forward. And it's okay to be positive and count our blessings. Why? Because somehow, and not everybody will always understand this, hope keeps our spirits alive in the midst of tragedy. It's not always easy. So let me close this morning by saying something about Reinhold Niebuhr's, the theologian's, famous prayer. You might not even know that name. You might even not know who that is. But you may know his famous prayer he wrote. And I'm only going to say the beginning of it because I found out there's paragraphs of it called the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I can, and to have the wisdom to know the difference. Maybe this prayer will help us when facing the difficulties so that we can move forward. Amen and amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts this morning to talk about communion and to receive from the Lord and prepare our hearts by joining together for our thanksgiving and confession that we always do. And all are welcome to receive of the Lord today and come and experience His grace and forgiveness. So let me pull that up for you here. And if you would like to pray along with us, I would encourage you to this morning. So let's join together in prayer. We thank you, O Christ, for your unending grace that we receive at your table. Cleanse us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Send forth your Spirit upon the gifts of bread and juice, so that as we may be renewed to carry forth your mission in the world. Amen. Receive that today. Receive His grace. Receive that cleansing. Receive that filling. And receive that renewing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask our deaconesses and deacons if they will come, those of them that are helping us today to serve as we share at the table and receive from the Lord today. All are welcome to receive. Thank you.
bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Later, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Okay, we're going to shake hands in just a second. But let me tell you how the story of Job ends. After he had wrestled through with all of this and accepted that he was small and continued his faith in God, the very end of chapter 40, it tells us that God gave Job more sons and daughters and grandchildren than he had before, and multiply his flocks and camels and everything again, and his crops began to grow and restore once again. And that's the faithfulness of God, even in the midst of difficulties. Well, let's shake a couple of hands and greet one another, and then we'll close out there with our chorus there, "I Love You, Lord."
Thank you.
want to use your hymn book this morning, 214. I love you, Lord. We'll sing it through twice this morning. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's sing it again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. Go forth into this world in complete assurance of God's presence and love.
We place
our lives in the hand of God. Bring hope, healing, and peace to all whom you meet. Go in peace. Amen.